So we must learn the ways of practice while we are still healthy and strong to chant Ami Dhofo and vow to be born into the Pure Land. To let go is to do so from the mind. It is to detach ourselves from the five desires of wealth, fame, lust, food or drink, and the six dusts of sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, and thought. We should neither be attached to our bodies nor to our minds. As ordinary people, we are filled with discriminatory thoughts and attachments and find it extremely difficult to detach ourselves from them. We always have wandering thoughts. The Pure Land way is to change our way of thinking so that we are mindful only of Buddha Amitabha. Once we change our thinking to only those thoughts of Buddha Amitabha, we will finally be free. Truly cultivating the Bodhisattva way is concentrating only on Buddha Amitabha and chanting only Ami Dhofo. Yesterday, I was asked to help answer an email, and I would also like to respond to it tonight. The sender expressed appreciation for what my teacher, Venerable Master Jing Kong, taught. But he said that he felt teachers, followers, and believers were saying that all of Buddha Shakyamuni's other teachings are meaningless and useless, and that the Pure Land School is supreme. I do not know who the sender was talking about, but there will always be students who, in their enthusiasm, seriously misunderstand what teacher says. I can only respond with what I have been taught by Master Jing Kong. When we say that Buddha Amitabha and the Pure Land are unsurpassed, we do not mean that they are better than any other methods. All methods are equal and unsurpassed. All sutras are equal and unsurpassed. All practices are equal and unsurpassed. No one is better than another. The Buddha taught 84,000 ways of practice because our root, our causes, our conditions are all different. What is most suitable for one person is not most suitable for another. We need to find the methods, the sutras, the practice that is most appropriate for us. All the methods were taught to us by our original teacher, by Buddha Shakyamuni. As teacher has often said, as we have often said, to say one method is better than another is wrong. It is to slander the Buddha. From the book. There is nothing we cannot give away. When we find ourselves unable to do so, we can start by the giving of wealth. Ordinary people regard their clothing and food as dearly as their lives. Therefore, they consider wealth to be of utmost importance. When we practice giving without hesitation, we can cure stinginess and at the same time help others in dire need. However, for many this is very difficult to do, especially at first. But gradually it will become more natural the more we give. This is the best way to cure selfishness and to rid ourselves of attachments and stinginess. End quote. The Diamond Sutra tells us that everything with form is illusion, is false. This teaches us to give, to let go, and be free of worries and attachments. If we find it difficult to do this, then we need to start by giving away our wealth so that we are not tempted or affected by wealth. This is also the method that the Buddha taught us to escape the cycle of birth and death, to transcend the six realms of reincarnation, to transform ourselves from ordinary people to sages. It is always a little difficult when we first learn to give, so we often do so grudgingly. We may feel upset and perhaps even regret what we have done. This is when we need to use our wisdom and be determined to gradually make giving a habit. Then it will become very natural. Everyone will experience such a stage in their learning and cultivation. Eventually, as we give, we will experience a lessening in worries and stinginess. When we no longer attach to wealth, to our enjoyments, our body, heart, and mind will feel great ease and liberation. This is when our self-nature will start to be uncovered and we will gain complete contentment and freedom. The law of cause and effect never changes, either in this world or beyond. Therefore, the more wealth we give, the more wealth we gain. We do not even know where this wealth will come from. The more teaching we give, the more wisdom we gain. So we do not want to withhold any wealth, any knowledge. Poverty is the result of not giving wealth. Ignorance is the result of not giving teaching. Illness and short lives are the result of not giving fearlessness. The five good fortunes are all gained through giving. Giving is the cause. Therefore, if we wish to have the good result, then we must practice the good cause. It is a wandering thought to think that we gain the result without first planting the cause. This is impossible. From the book. What is meant by protecting the proper teachings? For millions of years, proper teachings have been a standard of truth and provided spiritual guidance for all living beings. Without proper teachings, how can we participate in and support the nurturing of heaven and earth? Without proper teachings, how can we help people to attain achievement? How can beings in all the realms succeed in their endeavors without a standard to live by? How can we be free of the five desires, the six dusts, our delusions, our afflictions? Without proper teachings, how can we set a standard in the world and help people transcend the six realms? End quote. Proper teachings are the personal achievement of wise sages, which have been proven by using the standards of truth and wisdom, such as those found in the teachings of Confucius and Buddha Shakyamuni. This shows how important it is to protect all proper teachings. In China, we protect the proper teachings by first safeguarding those of Confucius, Mencius, Laozi, and Zhuangzi, for they provide the foundation for Buddhism. There was no problem during Mr. Liaofan's time, because during the Ming Dynasty, all scholars studied the work of Confucius. By learning the four books, the five classics, and the various schools of thought, everyone had a good foundation in Confucianism. We need to understand this to see why Buddhism is currently undergoing difficulties and has declined. As it is the root, Confucianism taught us how to properly conduct ourselves. If we cannot even be a decent person, how can we possibly become a bodhisattva, much less become a Buddha? Our learning and practice to become Buddhas and bodhisattvas is built on the foundation of the humanities. Although we may not completely read the four books, which are the Great Learning, Doctrine of the Mean, Analects, and Mencius, we should at least read the first three so that we will know how to conduct ourselves. This is the foundation of Buddhism, the basic of basics. We can compile good excerpts from the commentaries from the past and widely distribute them. In the past, the books we printed were the version of stone-printed books of China without any copyrights. They were the commentary of the four books written by scholar Shija. It would be good for us to print, distribute, and advocate it. Therefore, Buddhists would do well to read the four books. Truthfully speaking, we can only give rise to the heart if we have this traditional education. Nowadays, education places great importance on technology, forgetting the importance of the humanities. No matter how advanced our technology, if we have not studied the humanities, then as the ancient people questioned, what is the difference between humans and animals? Humans are animals. If we do not know morality, benevolence, and honor, then there will be little difference between humans and animals. Human beings are the cruelest of animals, the most ruthless. Therefore, in order to help all beings, human beings must be helped first. If we can turn back from all that is bad to do all that is good, then all beings will be fortunate and happy. Only then can each sentient being achieve what they want. This is the goal of the sages and the virtuous people in educating and reforming all sentient beings. Proper teachings includes those of Confucius and Buddha. They have been the standard of truth, which has provided guidance for thousands of years. Heaven and earth have the merits and virtues of giving rise to and nurturing infinite things. Heaven gives rise. Earth nurtures. Heaven and earth have shown great kindness to all beings, animate and inanimate. Once we understand this principle, not only will we neither destroy nor harm the natural environment, we will do all we can to help the natural ecological balance to become perfect, to enable all beings to receive what they need. The merits of heaven and earth are vast and great. Those who genuinely have morality and knowledge can participate in and support the rise and nurturing of heaven and earth. The world's wise sages, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, all do just this. As Buddhism says, if we can transform objects and beings, then we are just like a Buddha. To transform objects means to change our minds, to change our views, our own thoughts, to let go of selfish desires and to participate in the light of the sky, earth, sun, and moon. To let go of our selfishness is true cultivation. True cultivation is wholeheartedly exerting ourselves to help all beings. Buddhas and bodhisattvas propagate the teachings and help all beings, guiding them in letting go of delusion and attaining awakening. Like heaven and earth, to nurture all beings. The merit from this is immeasurable. To be able to transcend delusion and to be liberated from confinement means to end all afflictions and worries, to uncover our wisdom and transform delusion into awakening. We are to use our behavior and conduct, as do the sages and virtuous people. We use them as our models. The teachings of sages are classics and sutras. Their thoughts, speech, and conduct are correct and without error. They surpass the dimensions of time and space. We know that Buddhist sutras surpass time and space because 3,000 years ago, Buddha Shakyamuni helped people at that time. Today, as we read the sutras, we still feel that every sentence spoken by the Buddha is logical and should be practiced accordingly. This is true for the Pure Land Sutras, which teach how to transcend this world by attaining birth into the Pure Land in one lifetime. This is to transcend the world. In Buddhism, there are infinite ways to practice. For the sake of simplicity, Buddhism has organized these infinite methods into six major categories, the six paramitas. If we condense the categories, then all six become one. All six become giving. There are three major categories of giving, that of wealth, teaching, and fearlessness. The paramitas of abiding by the precepts of self-discipline and patience can be considered the giving of fearlessness. The paramitas of diligence, deep concentration, and wisdom can be considered the giving of teaching. Thus, these three types of giving encompass all the methods of practice in Buddhism. India and China are very different. Yet what the Buddha taught was fitting for both countries. Now, as it is being introduced into Europe and the Americas, it is still appropriate. It is so because it provides logical answers to the questions people are asking today. Why am I here? Why do good things happen to some people and bad things happen to others? In the Diamond Sutra, the Buddha taught us to practice giving, but to not attach to giving. To give is to practice good fortune. This is the practice of bodhisattvas. Since the six paramitas are the way to practice good fortune, wisdom is a part of good fortune. The Chinese speak of the five good fortunes of wealth, prestige, longevity, merit and virtue, happiness and no adversities, and a good death. for Buddhists and non-Buddhists alike to practice according to the guidelines in the sutras that the Buddha taught, in the guidelines in this book, will result in attaining perfect happiness, in attaining the great liberation, both in and beyond this world. Amitabha. Respected Dharma Masters, fellow practitioners, and guests, in the last talk, we had started to learn of what Mr. Liao Fan had written on the proper teachings from the book. What is meant by protecting the proper teachings? For millions of years, proper teachings have been a standard of truth and provided spiritual guidance for all living beings. Without proper teachings, how can we participate in and support the nurturing of heaven and earth? Without proper teachings, how can we help people to attain achievement? How can beings in all the realms succeed in their endeavors without a standard to live by? How can we be free of the five desires, the six dusts, our delusions, our afflictions? Without proper teachings, how can we set a standard in the world and help people transcend the six realms? End quote. Proper teachings are the personal achievement of wise sages, which have been proven by using the standards of truth and wisdom, such as those found in the great teachings of Confucius and Buddha Shakyamuni. The four books are comprised of the thoughts of Confucius and Mencius, and are the essence of Chinese culture. Confucius and Mencius lived 2,500 years ago. Their guidance benefited individuals, families, society, the entire country. As the four books have been introduced abroad, people in other countries have expressed their agreement after learning what they teach. This is why the teachings of Confucius, Mencius, Laozi, and Zhuangzi are said to surpass the dimensions of time and space and are genuine sutras and teachings. And among all the Buddhist sutras, the Infinite Life Sutra is unsurpassed. The essence of traditional Chinese culture is contained within the four books, and thus the merit of scholar Shi Zhu, who wrote the commentary, is inconceivable. The content of the four books is very similar to that of the Flower Adornment Sutra, which provides principles, methods, and behavior for us to emulate. Of the four books, Doctrine of the Mean provides the principles, Great Learning provides the methods, Analects and Mencius tell the lives of Confucius and Mencius. In other words, they teach how to apply the principles and methods in our daily interaction with others, matters, and objects. Thus, the Analects and Mencius are just like the 53 visits of Sudana in the Flower Adornment Sutra. The four books and the Flower Adornment Sutra even have the exact same structure. To guide the world is to set a standard, to be a role model regarding transcending this world. Actually, there are no boundaries between this world and the world beyond. The difference between them lies in whether we are deluded or awakened. When awakened, we transcend this cycle. But with one thought of delusion, we are again back in this world. With another thought of awakening, we again transcend. From the book. Therefore, whenever we see way places, memorials of past virtuous people or sages, pictures of sages, or Buddhist texts, we should be respectful. If they are in need of repair, we should repair and put them back into order. End quote. The teachings of the sages have a direct bearing on individuals' minds within society, on trends in cultural behavior, societal happiness and peace, and the overall well-being of the group. Since ancient times, the wise and virtuous have been analogizing the teachings of the sages as the site of heaven and earth. How do we protect and uphold them? Way places are institutions of Buddhist education. Schools are institutions of worldly education. Both need to be protected and sustained. Today's schools have largely abandoned the education of morality and ethics, which is why we have such suffering and misery. I say largely because there are some exceptions. Earlier this week, we attended the opening ceremony for the Jamia Education Center. They did not go into extensive detail during their opening remarks about how many computers they had, or how much more equipment they were planning on buying. They explained how they wanted to prepare people to have good working skills, and how they wanted their students to have a good moral foundation. They wanted them to have proper values. They had already succeeded in doing so. We could see in the faces of the children and all the people who were there the qualities of sincerity, respect, and loving kindness. We were not the only ones to value the good work they are doing. Almost a dozen countries were also represented because they had joined in supporting an educational endeavor that was also providing the proper teachings. Ancient Chinese sages were knowledgeable about science and technology, yet they chose not to continue development of this technology. Why? They foresaw that in the end, technology would destroy our world. So they chose instead to concentrate on the humanities, to help people develop wisdom, to understand and practice morality and ethics. To help people understand the relationship among people, between humans and spirits, and between humans and nature. To become a person who is fearless and indomitable. Only in this way will individuals experience true happiness and well-being, and will countries and citizens be able to have a real future. This is genuine education. In the early 1900s, the Chinese government abandoned classic Chinese education. At the time, many wise and virtuous people felt deep sadness over this decision. The bad seeds that were planted then are now bearing fruit. If ever we have tasted the bad fruits, if after we have tasted the bad fruits and we are still not awakened, then we are lost. This way of thinking can destroy countries and races. The result of abolishing Chinese classic education is the destruction of the proper teachings. And if Confucian and Taoist teachings cannot be protected, then Mahayana Buddhism cannot be established. Buddhism has flourished for 2,000 years in China because it was based on the foundation of Confucianism and Taoism. But today, we are digging away the roots, destroying the foundation. If this continues, the teachings of the Buddha will become mere empty words. In the past, books were not privately owned, so writing in them was not allowed. They were carefully passed down from generation to generation, so others could also read them. Those who wished an individual copy would hand copy one for their personal use. They were cherished, respected, and protected. If any of these ancient texts were damaged, then individuals would mend, copy, and distribute them so it would not be lost. This is the greatest merit. From the book, we can propagate and carry forward the proper teachings and help others to learn their value. In this way, we can repay our gratitude to the Buddha. We should especially do our best and encourage others to do so as well. End quote. This teaches us that we need to help propagate the teachings of Confucius and the Buddha, and to encourage others to do so as well, to help benefit all others. In so doing, we will truly be repaying our gratitude to the Buddha. To be able to do this, we need to accomplish two things. First, we need to help train Dharma repositories who can properly propagate the teachings. Second, we need to establish way places where the teachings can be taught, thus enabling people to have a good educational environment for both learning and practicing. Today, few people are propagating the Dharma. So instead of relying on others, we need to rely on ourselves to do this. We establish a way place in the hope of providing the opportunity for more people to encounter and learn Buddhism. Today, the best way to do this is through TV and the internet, which can bring Buddhism into almost every family's home. We could invite benevolent teachers to choose the sutras that would benefit society the most, and to have them take turns lecturing. Since Mahayana Buddhism is built on the foundation of Confucianism and Taoism, we could lecture first on the four books. Next, we could lecture on Mahayana Buddhism. In this way, people would be able to thoroughly absorb and digest the teachings, thus preventing them from becoming mere empty words. So if we truly wish to help Buddhism flourish, we would do well to begin with traditional classic education, such as the teachings of Confucius. To do this, we can begin by nurturing Dharma repositories and establishing way places. Establishing a way place does not mean spending a large amount of money on a building that will result in endless squabbles and conflicts. When this happens, the effort and expenditure will become meaningless. We need to understand that once we start learning and practicing Buddhism and attain wisdom, we will realize that wealth is like a puff of smoke, a fleeting cloud. No matter how much wealth we have, it is only something to look at. Think about it. Is the money we keep in our home really ours? If it were truly ours, then we would keep it instead of giving it away to another. And yet, when we receive money, we pass it on to another. It was ours for a very short time. Thus, we should not place much importance on wealth. A fellow Buddhist who had immigrated abroad told Venerable Master Jing Kong, my teacher, that after he made $1 million in the stock market, he immediately lost it again. Teacher asked him why he did not listen to Liao Fan. When we lose something, it means that we were not supposed to have it, so there is no need to worry. We should neither be happy when we gain something, nor unhappy when we lose it. To do so would be a sad waste of time. Those who understand and possess wisdom would instead use their precious time to chant a Buddha's name. We need to understand the principles. If we are diligent in our practice, and propagate the teachings to help all others, we will gain infinite merit. Then all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas will praise us. From the book. What is meant by respecting our elders? It is making an extra effort in being attentive to and respecting parents, elder siblings, leaders, superiors, elders, or those of high virtue, prestige, and learning. When taking care of parents at home, we are to do so with loving hearts and a gentle, accommodating appearance. We should not raise our voice, but maintain a peaceful bearing. As we cultivate these virtues, they will become a part of us, and we will change into a gentle-hearted person. This is the way we can touch the hearts of heaven. End quote. In ancient China, those who taught young children placed great importance on basic education.